go ahead and take your Bibles, turn them to two areas. Of course, Acts 27:31. Then the other is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Continuing our theme of abiding in the ship, we're jumping in another ship today, and this is the stewardship. The stewardship, and I'll give you the definition to that here in just a minute. The stewardship, Acts chapter 27 and verse 31, then 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. The stewardship. Most of us are familiar with the stewardship. We hear about it every Sunday at the time of giving, amen, and so we're familiar with that. We just want to give you some more encouragement on it to continue in this ship, amen, and especially as we start a brand new year, making sure that our stewardship is being taken care of. Acts 27 is where we'll read first. That's our text verse, 27 verses 31 and 32. Acts 27, verses 31 and 32, and we'll read those. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one right in front of you. Go ahead and take that with you. Amen. And Acts 27, 31 and 32, everybody found their place. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Verse 31, read that with me. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. We gave the context of this several weeks ago. Paul on a voyage to prison, going to Rome, is being taken as one of the prisoners. He's aboard this ship, and the shipmen are about to abandon ship and jump overboard. And Paul says, "Hey, look, centurion, except these shipmen that can navigate this boat stay on board, we are not going to be saved." And so, of course, they cut off the escape boats there in verse number 32 and let them fall off. And so we are using that as a context to let you know there's certain ships here that we need to abide in throughout this year. And as we abide in those ships, we don't want to jump ship, because God will not affect his purpose if you jump ship. We talked about Jonah. He tried that, and he still had to get to his destination by underground submarine or underwater submarine. Amen. And so you don't want to do that. Amen. And so we're talking about abiding in the ship. And the ship is defined as a vessel used for navigating on water. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2, because as the year progresses, we'll continue navigating on the sea of life, and at any given time, a storm can arise. And we want to make sure for spiritual safety and security, we abide in the ship that God has us in. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, and this is the stewardship. It says, verse number 1 and 2, read that with me. "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Amen. So you and I are stewards. And so a steward or stewardship is one who manages another's property, finances, or other affairs. The Strong's Concordance definition is this: a steward is a house distributor, manager, or overseer. He is an employee in that capacity, or a preacher of the gospel, or it could be a governor. And that is the Strong's definition. In the Bible, a steward was a man employed in great families to manage the domestic concerns, to superintend the other servants, collect the rents or income, and keep accounts, much like Joseph was in Egypt for Pharaoh. God has entrusted to each one of us something, and he wants us to be wise stewards of that which he's entrusted to us. Say, preacher, what has he given us? We're going to talk about that this morning. Amen. And whatever it is that God has given you, he wants you to be wise just as much as you want someone to be wise if you gave them something and said, take care of this. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for what you've given to us. And Lord, how you have stewarded us. Lord, you've given to us. And Lord, thank you so much for taking good care of our lives and the lives you've given us. Now, Lord, help us to reciprocate that by being great stewards of what you've given to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the great salvation that you've given us, Lord, that we talked about in Sunday school. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Lord, you've given it to us full. You've given it to us free. So as we look at what you've given us, help us then, Lord, to recognize what you want us to do for you in return of that which you've given us. We love you, Lord, and pray if there's one today that's never received Jesus Christ, they've never heard the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ for them, that, Lord, they would be born again today. The Bible is clear. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, Lord, speak to that man, woman, boy, or girl. First and foremost, what you want from them is their life. You want to give them eternal life for their short-term life here on earth. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need, blessed through the song and blessed through sermon, Lord, that we may understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Mrs. Dawson has our special as you're seated. Cup, Lord. Amen. And by the way, when you and I got saved, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He filled our cup. Amen. And I'm so glad that he did. Amen. Well, we're talking about the stewardship. Amen. And oftentimes it's a subject that folks, you know, kind of say, wow, well, no, we don't want to talk about that. Amen. But it is a much needed subject to talk about because we are stewards. Amen. By the way, it is something that God has entrusted to our care. By the way, God gives us life. And he wants us to take care of the life that we have. Amen. He wants us to make good use of that which he has given to us. He told the disciples early on to go out and cleanse the lepers and heal the sick. And he says, now freely you have received, and so freely give. And that is something that we need to look at. Everything that we have received of the Lord. Amen. If it's profitable for the use of his ministry. And so talking about a stewardship and getting in the stewardship is right here. Last week, we talked about the relationship. And let me tell you this. You cannot be a wise steward if you have not gotten in the relationship. What is the relationship? The relationship is a personal relationship between you and the Lord. You must be born again. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the safe passageway for you from here, earth, to heaven is in the relationship. You've got to be born again. Amen. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? And Jesus said, you got to be born of the flesh, and then you got to be born of the spirit. So you've got to be born first physically. Then again, you've got to be born spiritually. Amen. From above. God's spirit's got to come into you and make you a brand new creature in Christ. Amen. So without the relationship, you really can't be a very, very good steward. Amen. But with the relationship, it's sort of like this. Your life is being saved. Amen. That's what we call it, getting saved. Amen. My life has been saved. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But how do I get that way? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Now, I don't know about you, but I hear this all the time when people get their lives saved. You know what they want to do? They want to repay back the person that saved them or rescued them. You hear it all the time about firemen or you hear about policemen. They're so thankful. They say, what can I do to repay you? What can I give to you? Why? You saved my life. You rescued me from that disaster, or you rescued me from that ocean or that house or whatever it was. You rescued me. What can I do to repay you? How many of y'all have been that way? Amen. We were in the QT just a little while ago, and Joshua found somebody's debit card. And so he took it up to the front and said, hey, I found this debit card. And the lady came back in, and she was frantic. Oh, did anybody turn this card in? And Joshua's, yeah. You know, one of the first things that she said when she found out that Joshua had turned it in, let me pay for your stuff that you just bought. Amen. What does she want to do? She wanted to repay us. So when the relationship is understood and established that God has saved our life, the normal thing is, God, what can I give to you? God, what can I repay you with? Now, we could never repay God. You know what you would have to use to pay with? Your life. And you only have one. Amen. But you know what you can do? You can be a faithful steward of what God has given you. Matthew 10 and verse 8. Let's look at that real quick, and then we're going to get into this. Matthew 10 and verse number 8. This is where he's sending the disciples out, the 12 disciples. Notice Matthew 10 verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. He tells them what to do and how to go and what to do when they went. He says down in verse 7, as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast devils. Notice this. Freely ye have received. Would he say freely do what? Freely give. God has given to your trust and my trust everything that we have. In theology, a steward is a minister of Christ whose duty is to dispense the provisions of the gospel. Notice what he says down there in verse number 7 again. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What were they? They were stewards. They were to give the message. But God also gave them miraculous power to cleanse the lepers, he says down there, to raise the dead, to cast out the devils, to heal the sick. He gave them that power and that ability to heal. Yes. And he said, I gave you that power, so make good use of it. freely you have received, so freely give. So in theology, a steward is a minister of Christ whose duty is to dispense the provision of the gospel, to preach its doctrines and administer its ordinances. This month, we'll look at several aspects of stewardship. Of course, stewardship of our tithes and offerings is one aspect we'll look at. But then we'll look at stewardship of the gospel through our missions program, which God has given to you and I. A recent study revealed what has been revealed in the past. In the average church, fewer than 10% or one in every four Christians tithe correctly and consistently. It's been talked about down through the ages, and guess what? Over the years, it still hasn't changed. This is a recent study that the stewardship of God's people is still one in every four that tithe correctly and consistently from their gross income. And God stewards our lives correctly and consistently each and every day. Think about that. God is a wise steward with your life. He knows exactly what to do with you. He knows what to do for you. He knows everything about you. And he says, now I'm trusting you to do the same thing with me. And oftentimes we don't do it. Amen. And it's sad, but it's true. And it's still true that 10% of the people take care of 90% of the church's finances. Amen. It's still true. It's still true. So today what we're going to talk about pretty much is just what we have been given. And then based upon what we have given, then what we should do with what we've been given. And we're not going to get very far in it today, but we'll talk a little bit about it, what we've been given, and we'll talk a little bit more about it tonight. Amen. The whole goal is to help us to comprehend that it's not just about our giving. It's about what we have been given. Amen. It's not about what we give so much as what we have been given. Now you think about it. All through life, we have been given. Our mothers gave us milk and nourishment so that we could survive. Our mothers changed our diapers so we wouldn't be a filthy mess and have a rash bottom. Amen. Our mothers fed us so that we could be hungry. So we wouldn't be hungry. Amen. Our mothers gave us a bed. Our mothers changed our clothes. Now, our dads did it too. Amen. I know you're looking like, hey, what about me? I did something too. Our dads trained us and taught us. Our moms trained us and they taught us. All our life we have been given. For what purpose? To give back to society. To be a productive citizen. Now change that around. When we were born again, when we were born by the grace of God, when that relationship started, when the Bible says, except a man be born again, when that relationship started, God gave us eternal life. And he says, now I'm going to give you a whole lot of things and I want you to begin stewarding for me. And I want you to start being wise in how you deal with it and start giving back what you've been freely given. You say, well, but preacher, I work for my money. Uh-huh. Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the oxygen? Who gave you the heartbeat? You try to work without a body. Who gave you the body? Amen. God has given you everything. And God says, now I want you to be a wise steward. Amen. And do what I want you to do. By the way, the Bible is clear. The moment you and I got saved, we stopped being our own. By the way, before you got saved, you still weren't your own. Amen. Did you know that? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, very familiar verses. We already know these. We're talking about what we have been given. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. And notice what it says here. What? Paul is asking this type of rhetorical question. What? Don't you know this? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? So in other words, he says, when this relationship started, don't you know that in you, God put the Holy Spirit of God? My wife and I were talking about this morning about the Old Testament and the New Testament and the difference and why if they lived 600 and 900 years old or however long they lived, well, why couldn't they do any better than what they did? If they lived 600 years, you think they would get this sin thing down. But you know what? They had an outward law. You and I have inward love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a difference. There is a difference. They could look at a woman and be lusting upon her. It wasn't until Jesus came into the New Testament and said, if you look upon her to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart already. So in the Old Testament, they could look at someone and lust, and that's why they had the problem that they had. Hey, we do the same thing, but now Jesus said, that's sin. That's equivalent to adultery. And so why couldn't they do any better if they lived 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 years? Because they didn't have the inward dwelling of the Holy Spirit. They just had an outward law that tried to contain sin. You can never contain sin. You've got to defeat sin. And you cannot defeat sin without the defeater, which is Jesus Christ, who died for sin and died for your sin and my sin and put it to rest. Amen. And so that relationship got started. And now we've got the Holy Spirit in. He says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God? And you're not your own. You don't belong to you. By the way, you belong to God. I belong to God. By the way, we belonged to God before we got saved. We just didn't do anything for him. Amen. He says, for you bought with a price. What was that price? The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the precious Savior. You bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So what do we have? We've been given the Spirit of God in our bodies. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Go back to Romans chapter 8. We've been given the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, notice verse number 31. What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, notice this, freely give us all things? What did he tell the disciples? Freely ye have received, freely give. So we are not our own. We have the Spirit of God. We've been freely given all things to enjoy. And so you know that it's free. Come over to 1 Corinthians again, chapter number 2 and verse 12. And we see, again, this word freely, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And notice verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are, notice that, freely given to us to God. How many of y'all paid money to get saved? If you did, you didn't get saved. How many of y'all, gave of your firstborn to get saved? If you did, you didn't get saved. How many of y'all worked to get saved? If you did, you didn't get saved. How many of you got baptized to get saved? If you did, you didn't get saved. How many of you gave money to get saved? If you did, you didn't get saved. Why? It's freely given to you. The Bible says it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it's a free gift. And so we've been freely given. So when we're talking about stewardship, God wants us to be wise in what we do with what we have. Why? He's wise in what he does with your life. And he's entrusting you to do the same thing with the life that now he has given you. Go over to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 real quick with me as we talk about this. Psalm 100. And wanting you to see basically this morning is that we have been given so much. Psalm 100. And in Psalm 100, notice verse number 3. The whole psalm is a praise to God. But he lets you know specifically in verse number 3. Know ye not that he is God? Amen. Just sink your head around that. Amen. God, know that he is God. God is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. You didn't make yourself. You didn't give birth to yourself. Amen. When you were born again, it was nothing that you did except let God have his way with your life. Amen. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is what? Good. His mercy is what? Everlasting. And his truth endureth to how many generations? All generations. And so when you look at verse 3, he made us. And so he gave us freely. He gave us life. He made us. And he says, now I want you to be a good steward. By the way, you know why our society is in such a mess? People have been bad stewards. Our government's been bad stewards. Our parents have been bad stewards in raising us, and so we've got bad stewards in government. We've got bad stewards making decisions. We've got bad stewards trying to make the budget work. We've got bad stewardship because somebody along the line missed the boat and forgot that we were made by God and His Spirit is in us, and partly because most people are not saved. And so we've got this mess that we've inherited. Amen. Because we've not been wise stewards. You think about it. You go back to Noah and the ark. When Noah got off the ark with his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they had the truth. Somebody was a bad steward of the truth. Because we find a mess thereafter. And so we've got to take consideration for stewardship of what God wants us to do. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find God's called out body of believers always supporting the work of God. He normally used his people to do the supporting mainly by the tithe. Very rarely do you see God telling the unsaved to support the plan of God. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Somebody say amen. You don't see the unsaved world being called by God to support the plan of God. He always told his people. Pastor White read them at the text out of Exodus this morning. Guess who he was speaking to? Israel. Amen. We can never outgive God, never could and never will, why he owns it all. Go over to Psalm 24 with me. Psalm 24 with me. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Talking about stewardship here. And we're going to talk about some difficulties that we find in our stewardship in just a moment. Psalm 24. And notice verse number one, very familiar verse of scripture that we have read many, many times. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So he says, the earth belongs to the Lord. He says, the fullness thereof. So the fullness belongs to the Lord. Then he says, the world. So the world belongs to the Lord. He says, and they that dwell therein. That would be the people belong to the Lord. Then that would mean if the people belong to the Lord, then their tithe belongs to the Lord. Their treasure belongs to the Lord. But don't stop there. Guess what? God also wants your troubles. He wants to know when you're in the hardship. Your troubles and your trials are also his. He wants to know when things are not going good with you. So we like to look at it and say, well, God just wants my money. No, God wants all of you. He wants your hard times as well as your good times. He wants to be your God in all times, when the chips are down and when the chips are up, when the times are good and when the times are bad, when you're healthy or when you're sick, when you're unemployed, when you got a job, when you're financially stable and when you're unstable, he still wants to be your God. And we just look at it like, well, God just wants my money. No, God could really care less about your money. God cares about you and he cares about your character. And partly how you use your stewardship is how you view your God. Amen. And God works with you. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 14 says basically the same thing as Psalm 24 and 1 says. Let's look over there real quick. If you don't get there in time, I'll read it for you. Deuteronomy 10 in verse number 14. And while I know there are proponents that say, well, giving is Old Testament. No, giving is New Testament as well. Deuteronomy chapter number 10, notice verse number 14. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. So this morning, knowing that we have been given eternal life, knowing that we have been given a relationship, and knowing that when we have this relationship, we have been placed in a stewardship. By the way, whether you know it or not, you're in a stewardship if you're saved. Whether you know it or not. The minute you got saved, your life no longer belongs to you. I like the testimony that Brother Neil gave this morning in Sunday school about his brother, how over time, it might not seem like there was great strides made, but he was still a steward of that which God gave him. And he was making of his stewardship what God gave him to make of that stewardship. May not be what you made with your stewardship, but every man is going to be judged by the standard of measure of Bible that they know. Yes, sir, Pastor. Amen. Yeah. Too much is given. What should be required? Amen. Yes, sir. And so when you look at this, we're going to look at, discuss the stewardship of tithing. We're going to be discussing the dilemmas and the difficulties of it, the definition of it, the defense of it, the duty and the dividends of the tithe. Today, we'll probably just get to the difficulties of it, and we might get to the definition of it. If not, we'll talk about that tonight. Again, most of us know what it is anyway, amen. If I ask the average person what is the tithe, they'll normally say 10%. 10%. And if I ask the average person, is it of the gross or of the net? You know what the average person will say? The net.
The net.
Uh-huh. And that's not true. Amen. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Amen. But first of all, let's talk about some difficulties and dilemmas prior to tithing, or reasons that make it difficult for some to tithe. And by the way, these are all personal reasons. Amen. These are things that I found out in my own life when I set out to tithe. Some say they can't tithe for financial reasons. However, I find that more and more of God's people are in a financial famine because they have neglected to consistently tithe week after week. Amen. I was one. I was in a financial famine because I had not tithed week in, week out correctly or consistently. So you know what I was doing? Wasting what God had given me. So my stewardship was bad because instead of tithing, you know what I was spending my money on? Liquor, cigarettes, drugs, stuff that's filthy, stuff that I didn't need, stuff that was going to go away, stuff that didn't matter. And before long, I find myself having more money going over here to ungodly things than going here to godly things. And so the difficulties and dilemmas to tithing oftentimes is because people have neglected to tithe week after week. And if you don't have a financial famine, you definitely have a spiritual famine. Amen. The second reason some of God's people may face difficulties, they face a financial famine because it's to increase their faith with the tithe and to trust God more. By the way, when I started tithing, I was in debt. Somebody say amen. If you're anything like me, when you came to Christ, you were in debt. Plastic cards were at an all-time high at the time I got saved, 27 years ago. If you didn't have it to spend, amen, you put it on plastic and you worry about it later on. And if push come to shove, you just claim bankruptcy and let the government pay for it. Come on now. Hey, that's what we did back in those days. Let the government pay for it. Hey, y'all getting quiet on me now? So I guess I'm not the only one that did that, huh? Amen. So some of God's people face these financial famines because it's to increase their faith, to tithe and trust God, and they have to get tested by their faith. Remember Job, he lost everything.
Yes, sir, he did.
But guess what? He kept his faith and he still turned out good. But then there are those that face a financial famine because they're living beyond their means. In other words, you're living on a $1,000 budget when you only have a $500 budget. And that was my wife and me. When we got married, we had plastic. And so plastic bought everything that we owned just about. And we were living beyond our means. My boss was a master sergeant. He was an E7. And his boss was a senior master sergeant. He was an E8. And I looked at them and I was at his house all the time. And I looked the way he lived. And here I am an A1C. An E3. And I wanted to live like an E7. And so whatever the E7 had, guess what? I thought I should have as an E3.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't have the money to go get it. So guess what I did? Plastic. And I started living like an E7. And when I couldn't afford it, ching, ching, put that plastic down there. That was back in those days. Remember when they put it down there and they had to roll across it? Choo, choo, they gave you that old hard copy back in those days. Amen. And if I saw it, I wanted. My wife and I moved into base housing. We didn't have any furniture at all. I mean, we had no furniture. I had a motorcycle and we had a car. Well, the car, we had to ching ching that too. Amen. My motorcycle was bought and paid for, though. That was the only thing I owned to my name, was a motorcycle. And we moved into our apartment. We wanted a couch. We wanted a TV. We wanted a bed. We wanted a table. We wanted chairs. We wanted a sectional. We wanted a wall unit. So you know what we did? We went and paid it all on credit. We furnished our entire house on credit. And we had an instant house. We had a washer. We had a dryer. We had all this stuff. And everything that my E7 boss had, we had. Just like that. But there's only one problem. I had an E3 income. He had an E7 income.
Yes, sir, he did.
And that began to bring more problems. You know what happened? My outgo was more than my income.
Amen.
And you know it's hard to tithe when your outgo is more than your income?
Yes, sir.
And it's difficult to tithe when you have that going on. Well, what are some difficulties to tithing? Some of God's people are in financial famine because they're living beyond their means. Your inflow is less than your outflow. You're in trouble. You may be living beyond your means. And you and I can live and exist on what God wants us to live on. We don't have to live and exist on credit. My son's first admission to the credit card was that just use that thing, Grit Daddy, and go get some money. I said, son, you got to have money to use that thing to get money. You mean to tell me you just don't put it in there? He thought they'd just get a plastic card and it gives you money automatically. No, unfortunately, a lot of Americans think that way. It doesn't just give you money. You got to have some money. Otherwise, you get in debt. And interest rates now will kill you. My wife and I was paying more on interest rate than it seemed like anything else. What happened? Our outgo was more than an inflow. Preacher, what do you tell people like that? The first thing I'll say to someone that comes in for financial counseling is to ask if they are tithing regularly and consistently. The answer that they give oftentimes is that they cannot afford to tithe regularly and consistently. My answer to them is that you cannot afford not to tithe consistently and regularly. Hey, how did my wife and I get out of debt? We started tithing. And we started giving to missions. And you know what God did? He started knocking that debt down. You know what it made us more conscious of? Our stewardship, how we were spending our money. When you don't have to pay sin tax, it makes a big difference. What am I talking about sin tax? Cigarettes, alcohol. They tax that stuff heavily. And when you don't have to pay all the sin tax and all the tax of all your luxury spending and all the things that you really don't need, you'd be surprised how much money you have. And so the first thing I'll tell someone is to tithe regularly and consistently. Oftentimes I find that people in financial famines are not consistent tithers. They may hit and miss, but it's not a practice consistently. And the end result of not tithing is to put your money in a bag with holes. I gave the crude example. I'm going to give it again here. Come here, Joshua, for a second here. Let me see if I got my bag. Go, while we're waiting for Joshua to get up here, go to Haggai 1:6. Now, Joshua's holding the holy bag. All right? Now, from your vantage point, it doesn't look like a holy bag, does it? It looks like a regular old bag. You can't see the holes in the bottom. But guess what's in the bottom of this bag? So Joshua's got the holy bag. Hold that, Joshua, just like that. Okay. Haggai 1:6 says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. All right. So Joshua is the person here. He's earned his paycheck. And he's putting it in a bag with holes. So there you go. That's 25. Went right through, didn't it? There's one. There's two. That one stayed in, didn't it? Amen. There's another 25. That one went through. There's another one. That one went through. Let's see. That one went through. Oh, that one stayed in. Amen. Joshua, you're doing good. Amen. That one went through. Amen. That one stayed in. Oh, Joshua, you're doing good now. Oh, that one went through. Amen. Let's get another one. That one went through. Amen. Let's get another one. Ooh, that one bounced out too. Let's get you another one. Ooh, man, look at that, Joshua. So let's see here. You count how much you have. How much do you have? Got it all? Uh-oh, now it's in there. Don't want to come out, does it? It dropped out? Oh, this step. This. All right, so how much do you have, Joshua? You tell me how much you have, and I'll tell you how much you lost. He's got 2 cents. Glory to God. Give him a hand. Amen. Two cents. How much did he lose? 50, 75, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 91 cents you lost. I'm so sorry. What does it say? And you have sown much, or basically you're working much, you're bringing in little, you eat but you have not enough, you drink but you're not filled with drink, you clothe you but there's none warm, and he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. There's a big difference between a bag with holes and a holy bag, amen? God has a holy bag. Thank you, Joshua. And just for your time and your efforts, I'll give you some dividends here. I'll be graceful to you. You can have five of those, amen? One, two, three, four, five. And aren't you glad that God has mercy on us? God has grace. And we can get ourselves into such financial foolishness, and God will still have grace on us and give us enough to survive on. We don't die, we don't perish, but we get deeper in debt. Even though God blesses, what am I saying here? He says, hey, look, there's some financial difficulties here. There's some dilemmas here. And the biggest thing is when a person gets saved, they ought to begin tithing right away, even if you're tithing wrong. Even if you're tithing wrong, start tithing and then learn how to tithe correctly. Amen. Hey, the offering plate would come around when I first got saved. And I would put in $5. My wife would look at me like, you know that ain't your tithe. I'm like, who's the manager of the finances here? Who's the steward here? And guess what? Ding, there's another bill coming. Ding, the car broke down. Put in $6. Something else happened. Something else went wrong. My wife said, honey, don't you think we ought to be tithing? I said, I think you ought to let me manage the finances. Let me handle this. And God was just beating me down. You better listen to your wife. You better listen to your wife. You better start tithing. And man, I still remember that first tithe check we wrote. My wife said, I'll write the check. Did you write the check or I did? I think she had the guts to write it. I was like, I'm too afraid to write that thing. We're going to go broke. We're going to starve. Put that check in that offering tray. Ah, we're going to die. Oh, we're going to starve. Oh. First week, nothing happened. Tithed again. Ah, this week I know we're going to die. We're going to die. Yeah, life's over. Oh, no. We didn't die. Third week we tithed. Ah, we're going to die. Kept tithing. And I found out something mysterious. Our bills started going down. I found out something else. I stopped drinking as much. I found something else. I stopped smoking altogether. I couldn't afford to smoke and tithe at the same time. It was too expensive. I found out I couldn't go to the club because when I went to the club, I drank and I got drunk and I bought drinks for everybody else and I couldn't afford to do that either. And I found out something. When we started tithing, our bag with holes began to close up, and we began to keep some money in. Wow. And God just began to keep transforming my mind as I went to church and I heard the preaching of the word of God and found out things that I was doing foolishly with drinking and alcohol and drugs and stuff. I ought to stay away from that and abstain from the appearance of evil. And I began to get convicted. I had more money. And I thought, glory to God, God is good. And before long, you know what? I was actually out of debt. I was actually in the black. Before long, I actually started building up some cash, and then it was time to start giving the missions, but that's a whole nother message, amen. By the way, we don't give our tithe, we pay our tithe. It's a crude way of looking at it, but it's similar to paying our electric bill or our gas bill or our water bill. We owe a debt for services rendered. Y'all see that on your bill when it comes down there? It says you use this much electricity, so you got to pay this much. You use this much gas, so you got to pay this. See, being in the military my first years, I didn't really understand that because we lived on base housing. We ran electricity up until time got tough. Hey, I put it down to 60, man. It's hot outside. Amen. Started paying my own electric bills. I thought, hey, we can turn that thing up to 70, 75. Amen. Hey, it says here we lose. So these kilowatt hours, and so that costs this much money. Services rendered means you've got to pay. Guess what happens when we neglect to pay our water, our gas, or electric bill? They turn it off. And to get it turned back on, you have to pay a fine. So you got to pay more to get it turned back on than the bill. Amen. Some of y'all don't know what that's like, but some of us do. Amen. Get that stuff turned off. Amen. Hey, they have a right to shut off your electric, your gas, and your water when you don't pay it, and they are justified in doing so.
Yes, sir, they are. Pastor, they are.
Let's turn that thing around. When you don't tithe, God can turn off your blessings, and he is justified in doing it. Why? If I have freely give, have been given, and he says freely give, and if I'm a steward, if I'm a manager, and God is trusting me, and he says, be wise, and I'll give you more, then guess what? If you don't, he says, I'll give you less. What parent would give their child more money when they wasted the money they had given them already? Raise your hand. Raise it high. You gave money and they wasted it. You give them more money and you keep giving. They keep waiting. We don't do that. Guess what? God doesn't operate that way either. Amen. Psalm 24:1 says the earth is the Lord. Amen. The fullness thereof. Some get mad when God shuts off the blessings. Amen. Some try to get upset. Amen. But if we are tithing correctly and consistently, God will give what we need to get the job done. Amen. We just get to use it temporarily. Amen. Joshua gave the illustration of the bag with holes. Amen. And by the way, a lot of Christians have some holy bags.
Oh, yes, they do, Pastor. They sure do.
More of what's going in your pocket is going right out. Mm-hmm. Amen. Unexpectedly on things that you really didn't plan for it to go out on. We talked about that on Wednesday. Amen. Let me give you this real quick and then we're going to quit. The definition of the tithe. Definition of the tithe. Amen. We'll do that real quick. Come here, Joshua, for a second here. No, you got candy already. Come here, G2. Come here, Alex. We got Alex and we got Joshua, or G2. Alex, you come on this side. All right. Valentine's Day this month. So we got hearts here. Amen. Alex, you come on this side. GT, you come on this side. You guys have worked hard. We're going to pay you guys. All right. So you take 10, you take 10. You put your 10 right there. Come on up here. All right. What is a tithe? The definition of tithe. Tithe is 1/10 of your gross income or your increase. It is 1 in 10, 1 penny out of 10, or 10% of your gross income. You got 10? All right. So now, you got paid. You got paid in Skittles. All right. You got 10 Skittles. How many Skittles should you give me back for your tithe?
10.
10? Ooh, yeah. Oh, okay. Let's see. I like you already. Amen. So you give me back one. Amen. Gregory, how many you give me back? One. All right. So if they give me one back, they have been justifiably right with God. They gave me one back. Amen. So 10% is 1 out of 10. Now, let's suppose each one of these is 10,000.
Wow.
How many do you have to give me then?
10,000.
1 10,000. Let's suppose yours are millions. How many you had to give me?
None. No.
Scrooge.
10,000.
10,000?
Whoa.
If each one of these are millions?
100,000.
100,000?
Yes.
Okay, I'll take that. If they're all hey, what am I saying? It's 1 out of 10. It doesn't matter if it's thousands, 10,000s, millions, 20s, 10s, or 5s. A 10% is 10%.
Yes,
it doesn't matter. Amen. Let's just suppose that Alex here, he goes to the, he's going to be a lawyer. And he got a big case. Somebody got sued, amen. And he racked up the dough. He got $10 billion.
Amen.
Guess what his tithe is? $1 billion. And I'd like to be in the church that you're a member of. Gregory goes out and he doesn't have a job. And so he only gets $100 a week. Guess what? His tithe is going to be the same, 10%. Not a billion. Amen. A 10% of 100. And so he just has to give me 10%. So it doesn't matter how much a person makes. I can't tithe. Yes, you can. Because it's consistent across the board. 10% is still 10%. Amen. All right, you can keep your 10. You can keep your 10. Or your 9, I should say. Give me this one. I'm going to eat that myself. Amen. So whatever you gross, not whatever is left after everybody else gets theirs, is the tithe. You back the decimal point up one, and that is your tithe. And so if you make $1, you back the decimal point up, and you give 10% of that, which is 10 cents out of 90. Amen. So it's very, very simple. Whatever you gross, whatever is gross, you move the decimal point back to the left. 27 Leviticus. Leviticus 27:30. And we got to quit. Leviticus 27. Leviticus 27. A lot of folks say, well, I can't tithe. Yes, you can. Leviticus 27. And Leviticus 27, I want us to go over to verse number 30. And a very familiar verse. We've seen this one before. Leviticus 27 and verse 30, the Bible says, and all the tithe of the land, see, they were an agricultural society, and so they were to tithe off of the agriculture there. Whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord. Every Christian that has an increase of income financially should tithe accordingly. Now, listen to this. Accordingly, if they have a decrease, what is their tithe going to do? Decrease. Folks say, well, I can't keep paying that. Well, you pay whatever your tithe is. Folks say, well, I was paying $100 in my tithe, but now my job, they demoted me and I'm not getting that much money. You tithe of whatever it is that you get. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Whatever that increase is, whether it goes up or whether it goes down. By the way, do I tithe off of my income tax? Is it an increase? Amen. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9. Stewardship, freely we have been given, freely give, amen. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 9, we hear these verses all the time. Notice what it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with how much of the increase? The first fruits of all thine increase. What did Alex and what did Gregory do? They gave one of the first fruits. They got 10, they gave one of the 10, they gave the first fruits. The danger if you don't give the first fruits is you tend to spend it. Let's just be honest, amen. You tend to spend it, amen. The tithe is often a good spiritual indicator of a Christian's consistent walk with God. When a Christian gets disgruntled, oftentimes the first thing they stop doing is attending church and tithing. Why? Tithe is paid at church, unless they send it in by mail, amen. God takes it personal when we keep his tithe. Go to Malachi 3, 8 and verse 9, and we'll quit with these. Malachi 3, 8 and 9. God takes it personal when you and I keep his tithe. What am I talking about? Stewardship. God is trusting you and I to do good with what he has given us, and he's given us all of it, amen? He could keep 100%, but he doesn't. God takes it personal. Notice Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God, he says down there. Will a man rob God? Question mark. Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. He said it didn't just stop with the tithe, but offerings you're supposed to give as well. He says, in tithes and offering, God states, ye have robbed me. Who is ye? It's me. Amen. Or who is ye? It's let me read that right. Will a man rob God, yet ye, speaking of the Israel, have robbed me. Who is me? God. But ye say, the children of God said, wherein have we, the children of God, robbed thee, God? And God said, in tithes and an offering. So as a result, he says, you are cursed with what? A curse, for ye, the nation, have robbed me. Even this whole nation. He says, I'm attributing this to not just individuals, but the whole nation. You know what happens when the church as a whole does not tithe? The church as a whole suffers. Amen. That's just the way it goes. If the dad of the family wastes the money, who suffers? The family. If the mom wastes the money in the family, who suffers? The family does. If the children waste the money in the family, who suffers? The children, because they get spanked. No, I'm just joking, amen. What I'm saying is, it's not just one person that suffers. Everybody collectively. Why? We're a family. And so everybody suffers. So God is trusting us with 100%, looking to see if we'll do and be good stewards of that which he's entrusted to us. And God has many different ways that he uses the tithe. Tonight we're going to talk about the defense of the tithe. It shouldn't need to be defended, but we're going to talk about it tonight. But the definition of it is just one tenth of what we get. And that's a tenth of our gross. And we should give it. Say, preacher, what about the New Testament Christians? What'd they give? All. You find them giving a whole lot more than 10%. But let me say this. God doesn't want anything before he has you. He wants you, because if he has you, he has the tithe. If he has you, he has the tithe. And so he wants you to be born again first and foremost. And when you're born again, out of sheer gratitude, you should want to give more than the tithe. I don't know about you. I want to do anything I can do for my Lord When he saved me, I said, Lord, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. What do you want me to do? Once I learned more about what had just happened in my life. Now, my early weeks, now I'm talking about tithing earlier. Those were the early weeks of my Christianity when my wife was saying tithe. It didn't take me long to start. I had to register what had just happened. I had to register what my wife was saying about tithing. I had to understand that's nothing. But what was my dilemma? My outgo was more than my income. That was my problem. And I didn't see how God could work that. But when I trusted God, guess what? He worked it. He worked it. I was afraid. I said, Lord, if I do this, what's going to happen? He said, did you trust me to save your soul? Then trust me with your finances as well. If I can save you, I think I can save your finances. And guess what? He did. I've been saved for 27 years. I've been tithing for 27 years. You say, preacher, you get started the first day? Didn't get started the first day. But it didn't take me long. It didn't take me long at all. And God has been faithful year after year after year. He has blessed. He's given me more than I ever could need. Now, do I have wants? Oh, yeah. I'm sure you do, too. But God never said he'd supply all my wants. He said he'd supply all my need according to his riches and glory. And that's a whole nother message because that's dealing with missions. Amen. But if you're not saved here today, God wants you to be saved. He wants you. For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. God wants a relationship with you. And then he wants to put you in a stewardship and say, take care of that which I give you. Not just for you, but for the benefit of others. I challenge you. If you're not saved, get in the relationship. If you are saved, get in the stewardship and be a good steward of what God has given you. Yes. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Father, bless now. Talking about finances is never an easy thing. Lord, I remember the first time when I heard about giving and I was a little afraid. Lord, there may be some in here that are the same way. They're a little bit afraid. Lord, I pray you would calm their fears. Help them understand that you want to, first of all, have a relationship with them. You want to save them. And then you want them to be wise stewards. Work in our midst. Work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. How many would be honest today and say, preacher, I'm not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If I died right now, I'm not sure I would go to heaven. I'm not sure that I have been born again, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? I'm not really absolutely positive that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. I want that relationship. Would you pray for me? All the heads are bowed and all the eyes are closed. Just lift your hand up. I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anyone like that at all? All across this room, children as well. I'm not in a personal relationship. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned. Pray for me. Amen. Next question, how about this? You say, preacher, I have a personal relationship. I've been born again. My stewardship, either I've been faithful, I've been consistent with it, or I've been hitting and missing, but I need to do better. I need to do better as a steward. Pray for me that I can be a better steward of what God has given me. Not just money, but everything. Pray for me, preacher. All across this room, pray for me, preacher. I want to be a better steward. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. All of us, really, if we're honest, we have not used what God has given us to its fullest. Amen. You may put them down. Father, you see the hands that have been raised. Lord, we do want to be wise stewards. We know that we can always improve upon our stewardship. Help us, Lord, as we approach this first day of being in the stewardship to recognize the definition of a tithe is just one-tenth. And Lord, it should not be difficult because you didn't save just one-tenth of us. You saved all of us. And our lives are supposed to be a sacrifice for thee. Help us now, Lord, to become wise stewards, better stewards of that which you've given to us, from our finances to giving out the gospel to every aspect of our lives. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now speak to each one of us and help us to do that which you would have us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep our heads bowed, but let's stand to our feet. heads bowed and standing to our feet, eyes closed. Miss Natasha is going to play a hymn of invitation. And I don't know what your need is this morning. It may not even be related to stewardship. It may be something totally different. Maybe you want to come down to an old-fashioned altar and present that to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Lord, I've got a need. It's not a stewardship need. Maybe it's a relationship need. Or maybe it's not even a relationship need. Maybe it's a job need. Or maybe it's a health need. Or maybe it's something that's going on at your school. Maybe it's something that's going on in your life. And you say, God, you spoke to my heart today. Help me to do that which you've called me to do. Help me to be wise as a steward, but at the same time, Lord, I've got other needs in my life today. And I don't know what those needs are, but God knows. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and give that petition to the Lord. Freely ye have received. Jesus said, freely give. What have you received so freely that God wants you to be a wise steward of, wise manager of? He's freely given it. And he says, be wise. Can't outgive God. All of my years, God has always given me more than I ever gave to him. Stewardship. We have a life that God wants us to steward. We have finances that God wants us to steward. Maybe here today you need to be saved. Why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Let us show you what the Bible means when it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why don't you come? Let us show you what that means. Would you come today? Perhaps you're here and you're already saved. You're already born again. But you need to surrender for baptism. Why don't you come? We'd love to take you and show you what the Bible says about biblical baptism once a person enters a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're already in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're born again and you're already scripturally baptized. But you need a good church home. Why don't you come forward and say, preacher, I need to be a member of a local fundamental Bible preaching church. I'd like to join this church. Why don't you come forward? Let us tell you what you need to do to join this church. It's very simple. You must be born again. And you must be scripturally baptized. Perhaps God is calling you to surrender to a specific ministry. Maybe something that he wants you to steward besides your finances. Would you come? All month long, we'll talk about stewardship. Our goal is to make sure you're wise in what you do, with what God has given to you and entrusted to your care. That not only you could prosper, but the plan of God could do more than we ever thought it could. Father, we thank you for freely given to us salvation. And Lord, those of us that are saved, Lord, help us to understand about the free salvation that we have and the ability that we have to become wiser in our stewardship. And God, as we just looked at the definition today, knowing it's 1/10, as we looking at the defense of it tonight, speak to our hearts and help us to really take these things to heart. And Lord, really trust you to help us to be wise in our stewardship, not just with our finances, with everything that we have, Lord, and even our problems and our trials, that we may give those to you. And Lord, be wise stewards there as well, not trying to figure out our own problems, not trying to connive our own solution, but Lord, to give you our trials, our troubles, the same way you want us to give our tithe and our time to you. Work in us, work through us. Thank you so much for loving us. Bless now your word as it falls upon the heart of the hearers. May we be doers of the word, Lord, and not hearers only today. That we may leave here differently than when we came in by the Holy Spirit's power. I thank you for our guests today, and Lord, thank you for the brethren that are here, and help us to come back tonight to hear more about the defense of the tithe, being obedient to Almighty God and what you've told us to do. And we'll thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White's going to come up with our